Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
We just come from New York, or just came from New York. I was telling them that I have an Italian last name with a hillbilly accent. So you guys don't worry about it. If I am speaking English, it is it's just a different kind of English than what you were probably accustomed to. I'll probably say something that doesn't make any sense to you, but in my mind it makes perfect sense. So, but don't worry, I have everything that I need written down right here, and it's going to be good. Amen. Amen. Well, I am excited to be here. I really am, and I'm thankful that your pastor let us come, and thankful that the Lord has provided our needed support, and I'm thankful that we'll be getting out of the United States here in a couple months, and just excited about doing what He's called us to do. That's a blessing. When we first started, we were in meetings with folks who were on their last meeting, and we were on our first meeting. And I go back to the room discouraged. I'm like, we're never going to get done. My wife, you know, being the spiritual giant she is, she says, we're just getting started, you know. I'm thinking, okay, all right, well, that's a blessing. But now we're at the end, light at the end of the tunnel, and we can see the big bright light at the end, and it's almost right in grasp. We had a pastor call us this morning, or text us this morning, and he said, brother, I just want to let you know, checking to see if you need anything for tonight where we can get it all set up. And I'm like, what? You know, I'm thinking, we are not anywhere near Georgia. And so I texted him back. I said, I thought you texted me it was the 13th. He said, oh, it's exactly right. I was just making sure you were awake and try to put a little bit of panic into you this morning. I said, slight panic, am awake. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. Well, take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter number 5. Joshua chapter number 5. I really like the book of Joshua. It's probably one of my favorite books in the whole Bible, really. Just the stories that's in it and things, and I do really enjoy it. So while you're turning there, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get started into the message. And don't worry, I'm not a long-winded preacher, so we'll be out just right on time, all right? We'll beat the Methodists to the restaurants and all that, so it's going to be good. All right, let's pray. Father, I do love you, and God, I thank you for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, I thank you for safe traveling mercies, God, that you provided us. Lord, I thank you for keeping our vehicle running smoothly. Lord, I thank you for this church. God, I thank you for the good spirit in this church. Lord, it is a blessing and refreshing to my soul. Father, thank you for the goodness that these people have shown to us already. Lord, just pray, God, that I could be a blessing to them. Lord, that I can encourage them. And Lord, just make them think just for a few minutes today on the reward of reality. Lord, thank you, God, for giving me something to preach. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Joshua chapter 5, verse number 10. The Bible says, make sure I'm in the right place here. Joshua chapter 5, verse number, okay. Joshua chapter 5, verse number 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay. But as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, if you read through the first couple chapters here of Joshua, you have in chapter 3, God miraculously leading the nation of Israel across the Jordan River on dry ground. Chapter 4, you see the stones of memorial in order to commemorate that miracle crossing. And in Joshua chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, we see the circumcising of the men who were not circumcised during the nation of Israel's 40-year wilderness wandering. And here in Joshua chapter 5, we find out the reality of the war that is going to be given to Joshua and the Israelites before the battle of the city of Jericho. In Joshua chapter 6, you have the city, you have them doing what the Lord tells them to do, and you see the walls of Jericho falling down flat. But, you know, they get this reward, they get this reality here just for keeping at it. I mean, up until this point, the nation of Israel really has been through the test. They've been put up against some walls, and they've been put up some against some obstacles that would have probably made a lot of people quit. But the nation of Israel, they just kept on staying at it. And their faith might have been running just a little bit low. The troops might have been just a little bit worn out, but they stayed at the task that they had set up against. And now they're coming to the place, and the Lord is going to give them a reward. And I just want to preach to you just for a few minutes on the reality of the reward. And first of all, I want to draw your attention to verse number 11. The Bible says, and they did eat of the old corn of the land. And you see in verse number 11, the food was seemingly running out. But in verse number 11, it says, and they did eat of the old corn of the land. And I want to preach to you just for a few minutes here on the old corn. You know, it wasn't the leeks, it wasn't the onions, it wasn't the garlic that they were accustomed to eating, you see. It wasn't the fatted calf or the fatted lamb. They didn't have all the normal options, you see. They didn't have Lucky Charms. I mean, you go into the cabinets of Americans and you see the cereals that they have, and they have a whole lot of options. You have Corn Flakes, you have Frosted Flakes, you have Frosted Shredded Mini Wheats, you have Strawberry Mini Wheats, you got Fruit Loops, you got Cheerios, you got biscuits and grape jelly, biscuits and peach jelly, biscuits and strawberry jelly, biscuits and apricot preserves, biscuits and apple butter, you got biscuits and gravy with sausage, you got bacon and egg. I mean, this is a lot of options. The nation of Israel didn't have these options. They had old corn. But it was the food that was going to sustain them in a time where they probably seemingly needed the nourishment the most. You had people just coming out of getting circumcised. You have the nation of Israel getting ready to go in battle. Their tank was running low, and seemingly the food was running out. Now, how true is that of us today? I mean, we've been up against the battle against spiritual wickedness in high places. We've got wickedness on every side. This nation seems like it's going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, it seems like the walls are getting ready to crumble. It seems like the walls are getting ready to fall. It seems like the whole world is on your shoulders. The whole world is your enemy. The whole world is against you. And we need food to sustain us. Food that we so desperately need after the spiritual circumcision on our hearts that was made without hands in Colossians 2, verses 12, chapter 2, verse number 12. We need food for the continuous battle against the spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians chapter 6. And we as fathers and we as husbands need food in order to know how to protect and shield our families. Men, women, boys, and girls need food in order to know how to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. We need food in order to be able to know how to keep our bodies under subjection in order to not become an outcast or cast away in the Lord's service. You say, preacher, what's that food that you're talking of? What's that food that you're speaking of? What food is going to help me in the above situations? I'm just going to tell you, it's nothing more than the authorized King James Bible. This Bible is likened to meat. This Bible is likened to milk and honey and bread. And it is the one with all the these and the thous. It's the one that cuts into the innermost part of the soul. It's the one that convicts us of our sin. It's the one that exalts and magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ and His deity. It's the one that contains all the words and shows us the way of everlasting life. This is the one that is inspired and preserved of God. The Bible says in Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Listen, when the walls seem like they're crumbling, when the enemy's surrounding you, when your family's under attack, listen, just go to the old corn. Find the King James Bible and get inside that thing and find out what God has for you for today to get through the battle. But not only do they eat old corn, but you look here in verse number 11 also, it says, and parched corn in the selfsame day. So not only did they eat the old corn, but they ate the parched corn. I looked up the word parched in the Webster's 1828, and this is what it said. It said, scorched or dry to extremity. Scorched or dry to extremity. People say that the King James Bible is too old and outdated. People say that the King James Bible is too dry or too boring. You know what I say? I say those people are crazy. I say those people are crazy. I say the King James Bible is up to date with the state that we are currently living in. I'm telling you, this thing, when you read it, it reads you, and it reads the very circumstance that you might find yourself in from day to day. I mean, you can be reading the Bible and you say, man, I don't know how I'm going to get through today. It seems like the whole world is against me. And you open it up here and get some kind of manna, some kind of food out of the Word of God, and it can get you through the very day that you're in and get you through the trial or the tribulations that you're going through. And I'm telling you, it's a blessing. This Bible is up to date with the very situation that you might find yourself living in today. That's a blessing. Amen. This Bible, listen, is not a dry or boring book. People who say the Bible is a dry or boring book are people who have never read the Bible. I think about the story of Ehud and King Eglon, and how Ehud came up to King Eglon. He had a present for the king, and he took that dagger off his left thigh and he thrust it into King Eglon, and the fat came over top of that. He stuck it in, and the dirt came out. That's not a boring story. You know, I just taught Vacation Bible School in Rockingham, North Carolina, and first time I've ever done it. And I was doing God's superheroes, and I did an illustration of Ehud and King Eglon. I'm telling you, those kids didn't think that was a boring story. And I'm just telling you, when the two-edged sword, when the Bible goes into you, listen, all the dirt that you've been putting in, all the dirt that you've been putting into your eyes and your ears and your mouth, listen, when you put that Bible in, that dirt will come out. I'm telling you, that Bible has a way of cleaning you out. Amen. This Bible is not boring. What about the story of a young and ruddy boy named David, taking on the undefeated champion of the world, the great Philistine Goliath, and how that young man took a slingshot and a couple smooth stones and been practicing with that thing and had been provided by the Lord for there with the against the lions and the bears, and he took that slingshot and he whipped a smooth stone upside the head of that Goliath, and that big giant fell down. He was the undefeated champion of the world, and a young ruddy boy named David defeated somebody that said that you could never defeat, and then take his own sword. He took Goliath's sword out of his sheath, and he cut Goliath's head off with Goliath's sword, and then took his head into the city there and put it on a table for the whole world to see. I'm telling you, the Bible's not a boring book. What about the story of how God delivered the nation of Israel from the Egyptians and caused them to cross the Red Sea and made on dry ground and made the waters congeal? I mean, can you imagine? You have this big sea in the nation of Israel. Listen, God took the waters and stood them up straight and congealed them, and they passed over on dry land. That's a miracle of God. Listen, and you see that, and you try to imagine it in your mind as you're reading it, and act like you're Alexander Scorby as you're reading it to yourself and putting the emotion in it. I'm telling you, the Bible's not a dry book. If you think it's a dry book, you've never read it. Problem is not that the Bible is parched. The problem is what they have is with their heart. No matter how old or how parched people say the Bible is, we need to be faithful to ingest and feed ourselves out of the perfect Word of God. Amen. Every day. Every day we need to be getting inside the covers of this book and finding out what God has for us for this particular day. Listen, if you want to beat the battles, if you want to get through the tribulations and the trials that's in your life, you're going to have to get into the Bible and find out what it is that God has for you for today, every day. Revelation 10:10 says, "And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter." I'm telling you, in Revelation, they took the little book and they devoured it and just ate it and ate it and ate it. And that's what we're going to have to do if we're going to get through this wicked world that we live in. When the food seems to be wearing out, when the food seems to be running out, we're going to have to take the food of the Word of God and ingest it, that we might have a good steady diet of what God has to say. Amen. Amen. Not only was the food running low, but faith continued despite discouragement. And I know last night, brother, I said that I can't get these F's and these D's and stuff. You know, this one just happened to do that. I don't know. I don't understand. Candy, you did a good job. Just kidding. Just kidding. Faith continued despite discouragement. Look at verse number 12. "And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna any more. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." I see the first thing is the manna ceased. The manna ceased. God had provided this manna for the duration of their wilderness wanderings. I mean, they had nothing else to eat, and God, in His goodness to them, provided manna from heaven for them to eat every day of their lives. Man, what a blessing that is. This manna was the very bread that the Lord had given to them to eat. This manna was satisfying to the soul. The Bible says that this manna tasted like wafers and honey. And listen, there is nothing that I like more than a good jar of fresh local honey. Amen. I mean, we were in New York, and we were going to Holly, New York, and we stopped at a rest area because a two-hour trip with my family turns into 6 hours because the bathroom breaks and need something to drink breaks and all that. So we stopped at this rest area, and there was some people out there selling some fresh local honey. And I told my wife, I said, "I don't care how much it costs, get a jar. I love honey." Now, they didn't have any in Kentucky. They have honey. They got the honeycomb in it. And you take that honeycomb and cut you off a piece and chew on that honeycomb. And I mean, you can just chew and chew and chew, and that it's so sweet and satisfying to the soul. There is nothing better. There's nothing more satisfying to my soul than a honeycomb that I can just cut a piece off and chew on that thing, get all that honey out of there until it is just, there's nothing left of it. What a blessing. Now, how discouraging it must have been for these children of Israel. Listen, these were second and third generation people here. They had always known there to be manna. They had always known there to be a provision from God. And listen, and the Bible says the manna ceased. I mean, can you imagine? They're used to every day waking up and there'd be manna for them to eat. And then it just ceases. How discouraging. How discouraging that must have been to them. And you know what we can do? We can sometimes get in a place in our lives where it seems as God has taken away or dried up our spiritual manna. God's been good to us. I mean, I like to say a big hearty amen right there. God has been good to a bunch of no good, rotten, good for nothing sinners. I'm telling you, He's given us families. He's given us friends. He's given us a Bible. He's given us a good church family. He's given us a good pastor. Listen, God has been good to a bunch of sinners. Amen. And sometimes it just seems as if God has dried up the spiritual manna in our lives. We sometimes can wander into the wilderness of our own hearts. Anybody ever been there? A woe is me. And we're like Elijah underneath the juniper tree, and we are discouraged and we are defeated, and it seems like nobody even cares anymore. It's just you against the whole world, and you're in the wilderness of your own heart. Sometimes we have thoughts of discouragement, defeat, despondency, anxiousness, and sometimes the sound mind that God wants us to have, it seems so far out of reach. God says He did not give us the spirit of fear and things like that, but the spirit of a sound mind. God wants us to have a sound mind in 2017, even in the wicked generation that we live in. But sometimes it seems as if this sound mind that He wants us to have is not attainable. Because we got so many things going through our minds and so many things going through our hearts, and our kids might be like the prodigal son, and they might be out in the far country. I don't know where you're at today. Listen, but seems like the manna has just been dried up. I believe that the reason for this is because we've taken our eyes off the author and finisher of our faith. You know what we try to do? We try to do things that are in our own power. I'll do this, God. I can do it by myself, Lord. You know what we find out? Our power is not sufficient. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it on our own. Oh, yeah, we might be able to do it on our own for a day or two. But week after week after week after week of trying to do things on our own power and our own strength, dried up like a potsherd. And it seems like all the manna has ceased. It seems like all the blessings of God has went away. The manna ceased. But look in verse number 12 also. It says, the end of verse number 12. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. The manna might have ceased, but the fruit did not. Amen. And I'll tell you this, when it seems as if everything is changing and everything around you is crumbling, when it seems as if you can't go another step, you can't go another mile, listen, God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Listen, we've seen this on deputation, week in and week out, month in, month out. For the last 3 years, we have seen, we have tried, we have tested God. Listen, He said He's faithful. He says to prove me, to try me, and we've done that for 3 years, and God has come through right on time every week, every hour, every month, every year, and God has proven Himself faithful to the Trebuzio family. And listen, if you'd be honest to yourself in here today, you proved, you've tried, you've tested God, and He has been proved Himself to be faithful to you. Amen. We've been on deputation. Listen, I worked for the federal government. I quit my job, started full-time deputation with $200 support, a family of six, and traveled for 3 years. I've never had to wonder where we're staying. I've never had to wonder what we're eating. I've never been in a position, didn't know how we were going to get gas in the car. Our vehicles have always ran fairly well. I mean, at least got us to where we're going. Amen. I mean, God's people have provided for us. Listen, we've met friends and lifelong friends across the way. God's been faithful. God's been good to us. Manna had ceased and was dried up, and there was no more to be found. Listen, but God is faithful. He provided the fruit of the land of Canaan that year to sustain the children of Israel. Listen, God ain't going to let you go hungry. God ain't going to let you be living out on the street corner. Listen, God's faithful. He's faithful to your children. He's faithful to your spouse. He's faithful. He's faithful all across the board. Faithful. Man, what a blessing. So I forgot what I... Not only was the food seemingly running out, not only was the faith continuing despite discouragement, but I see here in verses 13 and 14, I see the faithful captain standing high. The faithful captain standing high. Verse number 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversary? And he said, nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? So the faithful captain standing high, and I'll say this, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And you know what, us Christians, you know what our problem is? We spend too much time with our eyes down. We spend too much time with our eyes down looking at our feet. Listen, had Joshua never lifted up his eyes and looked, he wouldn't have got to see that. He would never have seen this blessing that the Lord put right in his path. The Lord commanded us in John 4:35. It says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Amen. And too many times we were too busy looking at our feet instead of on the fields of the world. Listen, in the fields there are folks who are burdened down with a heavy burden. In these fields, there are people that are discouraged. And in these fields are people that are troubled and lost, and they're needing someone to talk to, and they're overwhelmed. Listen, you're going to come in contact with people, maybe even today, maybe even tomorrow, at your workplace or at the grocery store, at the gas station. They need a fresh touch from heaven. They need to be introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. There might be a single mom out there. Listen, she's got some children. She's got a deadbeat husband, and she's trying the best she can do in this world. But listen, she needs somebody to have compassion on her. She needs somebody that's going to help her. She needs somebody that's going to encourage her. I'm just telling you, look unto the fields. They are white already to harvest. And you're going to come into people who are discouraged, and they're going to come into people who are burdened down. Listen, you don't have to look very far. Just go to the restaurant after church today and look at the waitress maybe taking your order, or look at your coworker, and you can see the burden and the discouragement in their eyes and in their whole being. And listen, Jesus Christ, listen, He stood up three different times there in Matthew, and in reference to Christ seeing the multitudes and being moved with compassion. Amen. And we're supposed to be more like Christ. And Christ sat up on the mountaintop there on the hill there, and he looked down into a bunch of people who were defeated. He looked down into a bunch of people who were discouraged. He looked down into a bunch of people who were overwhelmed and just beaten up by the world. And he looked at them, and he had compassion on them. Just lift up your eyes. Oh, that we would lift up our eyes and be moved with compassion. But you know what we do? We sometimes, and I'm not saying you all do this, but listen, sometimes in our good churches, listen, we have a little bit of a Pharisaical attitude. And I was telling the lady we were staying with, I was telling my wife, I think you got three different classes of people. You have the person who realizes where they come from, how insignificant they were, how wicked and how ungodly they were, and how the Lord came down into the sewer of this world and saved our souls out of the pit of hell. Listen, and he put our feet on a solid ground and all that good stuff. Listen, we're very, very thankful for what the Lord's done to us. I mean, we were in a bad way. The Lord saved us out of a bunch of ungodliness, and we want to do something for God. Amen. Anybody like that? I usually preach to a whole lot of people like that, but then we have a group of people who forget where they come from. And they act like they've been godly every day of their life, but they forgot how they used to act like. They forgot what they used to be like. Anybody know anybody like that? And then we got some of the people who listen, and I think it's a blessing, children growing up in church and things like this, but listen, a lot of times we get these people that grow up and they've always known good. And we're producing little Pharisees. And what we do is we see the people like over there in Mark, the person who fell among thieves and was thrown in the ditch by sin, right? And that Samaritan story there, and we see somebody who might be tattooed up, or we see somebody who might have been abused by the world, or we see somebody who's had a hard way, and what we do is we have this Pharisaical attitude, and we see them and we're like, man, there ain't no way God used somebody like that, and we just walk by them. I mean, we just look their way, and we do like everybody else does, and we just look at them and shake our head and say, man, what a shame. But just remember where you come from. And just remember what ditch you were in when the Lord found you. You know, you didn't, the Lord was never lost. You were the one lost. You were the one in the ditch, and the Lord left the 99 to come find the one. Amen. And he come down to the hog pen, and he came down to the sewer slop, and he came down to a wicked, ungodly world, and he came by your way right where you were, and he saved your soul out of the pit of hell. Just remember where you were when you're looking at all the other people and saying, there ain't no way God used somebody like that. Man, that's a blessing, right? You look at the people and you move with compassion. I see people. We're up there in Canada. We was on Clifton Hill and looking at the falls and all that, and we saw all kinds of different people. And you see them. I mean, they dress like lost people dress. They act like lost people act. And you look at them with compassion and be like, man, if you just get saved, I mean, man, you could do great things for the Lord. Amen. But you have to lift up your eyes. And then you have to see Bible says, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hands. Listen, he saw a man. Here was a man that could have been the very answer to Joshua's prayer as he prepared for battle. The troops have been a little bit tired. The troops were a little bit worn out. The troops were a little bit discouraged. The troops were maybe a little bit apathetic. But this was a strong man could help in the battle. This man was for them. Praise the Lord. Not only do you have to lift up your eyes, not only do you have to see, but you'll see your captain. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 10 says, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. 2 Timothy 3, 4, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. With Jesus Christ as our captain, our commanding officer, we as soldiers have some requirements. We as soldiers have some duties to abide by. We should be finding out what our orders are. I talked to some fellows in here who were in the military before. And listen, you just don't go off rogue warrior, okay? You just don't go off doing something on your own thing. We find out what our orders are from our commanding officer, from our captain. And when our captain or our commanding officer give us our orders, listen, we go do what our orders say to do. We prepare for the battle. We are to obey all orders given to us from above. We are to be willing, we are to be available, we are to be faithful, and we are to be ready to fight the good fight of faith. We are supposed to be obeying the chain of command. What our captain says to do, our captain being God, our captain being the Lord Jesus Christ, what he says to do, we as good soldiers are to do what he says to do. Without asking a bunch of questions. Listen, we should not be disrespectful to our captain. We should not go AWOL. We should not go missing in action. We should not be a prisoner of war for our captain. We should be ready to fight. Our captain should be able to count on us. Listen, Christians should be the most, Christians should be the, they should be able to be counted on. If you say you're going to be somewhere, be there. If you say you're going to do something, do it. If you say you're going to, whatever you're going to do, listen, whatever you tell God you're going to do, just do it. Be faithful to the captain. Amen. We should fight with and we should fight for our captain. Revelation 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord. You want to know why you're here? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. For thy pleasure, they are and were created. You were not created to bring pleasure to yourself. You were not created to bring pleasure to your employer. You were created to bring pleasure to the Lord Jesus Christ and to bring him all honor and to bring him all glory with the way you talk, with the way you act, with the places you go, with the things you do. Listen, everything that you do, everything that you say, everywhere that you go, listen, everything about you should bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he looks at you, because listen, he's bought you with the price, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, he bought you with the price. And when he looks at you, you are to bring him pleasure. How much pleasure is he getting from you? Or does everything else out there get the pleasure? Ask yourself that. Listen, if you want to receive that reward, remember, no matter how old the food or how parched the world says the food is, keep devouring the Word of God. No matter what the circumstances and no matter how big the discouragement, stay by the stuff and delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Remember, God is faithful. It might not come when you think it should come, but he comes through right on time, every time. And lastly, the reward for this reality, listen, is that you're going to get to see your captain. Going to get to see your captain. Amen. I'm looking forward to the day when I get to see the captain of my salvation. Amen. The one who suffered and bled and died and shed his precious life's blood that I might go free. I'm looking forward to the day that I get to see my captain. And listen, ask yourself, how much pleasure is the Lord getting out of me? How much pleasure is the Lord getting out of me? Or is everything else getting the pleasure? Amen? All right, Pastor. Amen.